Coming to you from the heart of the Diocese of Savannah, this is It's Catholic, Y'all. Views expressed in this podcast do not necessarily represent the views of the Diocese of Savannah.
I'm James Griggers. I go to St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Macon, Georgia, and I'm leader of the Catholic Young Adults there, and I've been doing that for about 1 year.
My name is Sharon Mays. I'm at the Cathedral in Savannah. I volunteer with Theology on Tap in Savannah, and I've been doing that since just this summer.
My name is April Flojo, and I am the founder of the Frasati Sacred Social Society. We're based out of Sacred Heart in Savannah.
My name is Bryson Beckworth. I'm a parishioner at St. Mary on the Hill Catholic Church in Augusta, Georgia, and I've been serving at the Young Adult Ministry at that parish, Spirit and Truth, for the past 6 years now.
I'm Andrew Poyer. I'm also a parishioner at St. Mary on the Hill Catholic Church in Augusta, and I've been volunteering with in a leadership role in Spirit and Truth for about 3.5 years now.
So how did you each get started in the ministries you're in?
So I had wanted to do this for a while, and I was attending the cathedral at the Latin Mass, so that got moved to Sacred Heart. And when that happened, that sort of gave me the drive to actually start this thing, because I ended up writing it on the parishioner form. And so someone in the parish office told a friend of mine that I wanted to do this. And so my friend contacted me and I said, how did you know that I wanted to do that? And she was like, they told me. And so she said, I'll help you. So she sort of helped me get this off the ground. And we've been going for almost a year now. It's kind of crazy to see all that's happened.
Nice. Well, I started attending Spirit and Truth back in 2016, I believe it was. And I had just turned 20, didn't have, I was kind of a shy guy at the time, wasn't involved in any young adult ministries or anything. But I read about Spirit and Truth in St. Mary on the Hill's bulletin. And I was like, well, this sounds like it'd be something really fun to check out. So I went once, and then I just kind of kept going back every week and never really stopped. And about 2 years later, the guy who was running it at the time asked me to help him run it. This was back in 2017, and then I took over a year later. And then in about 2.5 years ago, I turned it over to Andrew, and I still help him run it. But yeah, it's been great for my spiritual life and I guess for my social life too, really.
Yeah, so I started with Spirit and Truth in 2019, right after I graduated from college. I came home to Augusta to find work and was sort of a little aimless because I wasn't sure where I'd be going, what I'd be doing, but I was referred to the Spirit and Truth ministry, and Bryson and everyone else made me feel welcome and glad to be a part of a group, making new friends and keeping my spiritual life strong as I could. And then in 2020, Bryson asked me if I'd become the new vice president, and within a year I was president myself, and I'm grateful that he stuck with me, because running it is tricky.
For me, I'm new to the faith, and so I was actually in RCIA and came to an intro meeting for the Catholic Young Adults group. It had not officially started yet, and they were asking for leaders, and I actually have Father Emmanuel over at St. Joseph's to thank. He kind of forced me to put my name in the leadership hat, and then I came to the group, but I wasn't in charge. I wasn't part of the leadership at all for a little while, and then the group kind of started to struggle a little bit, and he kind of suggested I should go talk to the leadership. And the leadership was like, hey, we'd love to have you, and how can you help serve? And then within about a month or two, they put me in charge. And so Father Emmanuel's been helping me with it all along. And
I'm curious too, James, what role your young adult group plays in the Catholic young adult community and just in the church in general. So like, what have you guys been doing in the past year? What kind of things you've been doing that have made a contribution to the young adult community?
Yeah, so we actually are basically the only young adult group in the Middle Georgia area. There used to be one over at Sacred Heart, and I think they're actually trying to get that started again. But in the Macon area, we're kind of the only group. And so we've had a lot of trial and error, kind of trying to figure out whether we wanted to meet once a month, which we did at the beginning. And then we kind of transitioned into weekly. And so we've started meeting once a week. And then at the beginning of the month, we do socials. In the middle of the month, we kind of choose a topic and keep to it. And then towards the end of the month, we do miscellaneous events. And then we also do like guys groups, girls groups, and try to stay active in the parish as a whole as well.
So for Theology on Tap, we just meet once a month, the last Wednesday of each month. So we don't have nearly as much programming as you guys have. That's really cool to hear about. But we just invite a speaker once a month to talk about something theological. And I got involved in it because the leadership that had sort of gotten it going, they all were, as happens a lot with young adults, moving on to different things, whether it was going back to grad school or just a different place in life. And so the spot opened up and I ended up just kind of sliding in there, and it's been enjoyable.
That's awesome. What about you, April?
So what have we done this year? Wow, we've done so much. It's crazy to look back on now. So we actually have done a few Holy Hour happy hours. We have done a winter ball. So that was based off of Candlemas. We actually did sort of a joint thing with you guys where we went to the beach after ordinations at the cathedral.
Yeah, that was a lot
so
of fun.
So that was so much fun.
Agreed.
And I hope to do more of that kind of thing with your group again and with other groups. So, what else? Just being together, we do one planned event a month. We've started to sort of meet in the afternoons for coffee. People just want to be able to hang out. And sometimes it's like the one day a week where we can all really just get together and be together. And hopefully soon we'll be growing our leadership team, so we'll be doing more stuff.
Well, Spirit and Truth meets once a week on Wednesday evenings. First, usually for dinner first, dinner and fellowship, unless we have our monthly mass, in which case we have dinner afterwards, of course. But we do a variety of activities, from just social events like game nights. We sometimes watch episodes of The Chosen. Big fan, by the way. Bible studies often, and either guest speakers or members of our group who have a topic to get into. Of course, we have our annual trip to Savannah for the ordination and then the beach. And just a few weeks back, we actually had Bishop Parks come to our group for a Q&A session. And so that was a big deal. That was
nice. Great.
It's been a great year for Spirit and Truth.
Yeah.
Excited to see what's ahead in the year to come.
Agreed.
So on that note, obviously we've talked about what we do and how these groups grow. So how many parishes do your members currently represent, and how do you tend to connect with the young adults in those various parishes?
I think for Theology on Tap, I think there's probably 3 to 5 parishes that we draw from most, either in Savannah, and I know we also have some people who come over from South Carolina in the Beaufort and Bluffton area. But I think most of it is either social media or word of mouth. We haven't really tried much more to expand that. It seems to be doing okay. I think hopefully we'll have some more leadership that can help expand and bring in more people, but it's basically what we've been doing.
Well, we have 4 different Catholic churches in Augusta. St. Mary's one of them. I'll let Andrew
actually 5 if you count the Greek Melkite church.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yes. Mm-hmm. So we have 5 Catholic churches in the Augusta area we serve. St. Mary's is one of them. Most Holy Trinity, St. Teresa's, St. Joseph's, and then the Melkite Church, St. Ignatius.
Yes, we try to keep our ads in their bulletins, those who want them. But we also have a Facebook page, we have an email address, a website, and a GroupMe for internal use. That's proven very useful for keeping people engaged, in my opinion.
The Catholic Young Adults at St. Joseph's, there's about 6 different parishes that feed into the group. And so there's 3 in Macon, 2 in Warner Robins, and then there's actually quite a few people who come from Georgia College up in Milledgeville, and they come down and spend time with us. And so, you know, we've got a pretty great group and widely spread, so it's quite a drive.
Well, for us, we have been trying to put it out through bulletins. But honestly, I think word of mouth and social media has really helped. So whether people just sort of stumble upon us and are like, oh, what is this? We have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram. But honestly, I think the GroupMe has really grown it a lot. So people have friends, sometimes they're not even Catholic, and they say, hey, like, we see this really great group of young people and they're doing just these wholesome, fun things. We want to be a part of that. So it kind of keeps like adding to itself.
It's always good when non-Catholics come and are exposed to us and find out we're not all crazy.
Yeah. No, it's really like, it's so inspiring because it sort of, I think this as a whole makes it inspiring to see like what the future of the church is. And then when you see people who aren't even Catholic, but they're like, I want to know what that is. I want to know like, what is it that they have? And so it's really inspiring to see that. And then just to see like all the people who are maybe still in RCIA, mm-hmm. and they're like, whoa, like, it's so inspiring, especially like,
it's powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful. It's some like, as someone who's a cradle Catholic, it always like really just heartens me to see that. I'm like, oh yeah, this is what we need.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think are some unique factors maybe for Catholics who are in our age group, but also in ways in which we serve Catholics in our age group?
Good question. I've actually I've thought about this. It seems to me like as the generations go down, especially, you know, from Boomer and Gen X to Millennial and Gen Z, that standards of morality seem to diverge a lot more for the younger generations, Catholic versus non-Catholic, than they did for our parents' generation. It just seems like even back in the olden times, as it were, even when people weren't Catholic, people seemed to have a more common moral foundation these days, with all manner of anti-Catholic beliefs. It seems like non-Catholics and Catholics don't have as much in common as far as a central code that they did a few generations ago, and mm-hmm. that's honestly worries me a lot.
I think one of the things that's been kind of difficult for us as a leadership team is trying to maneuver the culture and getting people to come, be involved, stay involved, while also not yielding to, like, you know, going to movies that maybe we don't need to endorse as, you know, the young adults group and that kind of thing. And so we have a lot of people who come and are excited and they're like, oh yeah, let's all, you know, go watch this or that or go do this thing. And it's been kind of tough maneuvering that, like, hey, maybe we won't do that as the young adults group.
Yeah, I think it's like, we have to clearly delineate, like, this is the official, like, group stuff. And then what's beautiful is that through the group, people will be like, oh, I want to go to adoration. Who wants to come with me? Or I just want to sit and chat over coffee. Like, who wants to show up? And so it's been really great. But obviously you have to, like, sort of set those boundaries of, like, okay, what is actual group stuff and what is more of, like, organic, how it's grown.
For people who have come to our ministry, Spirit and Truth, there's been a lot of people who have told us, oh yeah, I never even knew this was a thing. I just so happened to see it in the bulletin, or someone just so happened to tell me about it. So it can be kind of hard to get the word out there sometimes a little bit. And, you know, I mean, we have a website and social media and everything. But yeah, I think, you know, there's always probably ways we can spread the word a little bit better about this kind of stuff, because it really is important. I mean, your college years and your early 20s, those were such important formative years, and so many people can fall away from the faith during that time, and I've seen it happen. So I think having a young adult ministry that's grounded in the faith can be a great way to keep your faith life strong during that transitional period in your life.
For us too, it's also been that personal connection. Like, almost everybody who comes to the group was invited by somebody who's in the group personally, mm-hmm. and has then started coming and they enjoyed it, and then they've invited people.
That's been a lot of our experience too.
I struggled with this question of trying to think of unique factors for us as Catholic millennials and Gen Z. There wasn't anything really in particular that came to mind. One thing that I did think of is I think sometimes getting the word out in this generation can be difficult because you have some people who, I think I tend to go more towards this of wanting to just like cut the phone, you know, like I don't want to be on social media, but then also they don't want to read the bulletin. I'm like, well, okay,
oh, yeah.
Pick one or the other. Like, either cut the social media and read your bulletin or, you know, like, try to see what's going on and don't read the bulletin. But it's sort of like, how do we reach people maybe in new ways? And I think a lot of what you guys have been saying of just the personal connection is it's kind of the best way to invite. And it's also the easiest way to draw someone in is through another person who cares about you, you know, inviting you.
I will add this real quick. I was surprised by how many people found us in the bulletin.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, I'm encouraged
by that. Because I have people ask me, like,
there's
this funny
stereotype, oh, yeah, nobody reads the bulletin. So we just assumed people were going to find us on social media or something like that. I think even Andrew found us in the bulletin when he started coming.
Yep, I found it. but even then, I was shocked when I kept hearing other people finding it in the bulletin. I'm like, wait, people still read it?
The fact that it's young people reading it, that's what's really good to see.
Honestly,
I think the best way sometimes is like if you see a young person, like you can just be like, oh hey, like we're doing this, do you want to join us? Like mm-hmm. It's a group of young adults, and people are like, oh, I didn't know that existed, sure, you know, like, or just them starting a conversation really.
Yeah.
Then it's like, oh, I want to get to know these people more, like that sounds fun, I want to do that.
I think you're absolutely right. I converted to Catholicism fairly recently and had a strong background, like going to Protestant churches, where I think talking to people is much more normal at Mass. You know, I've noticed like people don't really talk when we're at church. Like maybe afterwards outside, but inside, like there's a reverence of prayer, which is great.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, like you said, if you see someone who sort of looks like they might fit into what you're trying to do, or even if just they're new, you know, introducing yourself and inviting them is a good habit to get into.
And for anyone who's listening, like it can be really scary when you're not used to it, but like if you want to just draw people in, like that's how you do it. It still like scares me sometimes. So I'm like, I really want that person to like have this opportunity, so that's
yeah. I mean, the first time I went to Spirit and Truth, I was so nervous I didn't even talk to anybody. now I'm sitting here as a co-leader of the ministry, you know, talking about it on this podcast. So that if it could happen to me, it can happen to anybody that may be listening, any young adult. So don't be scared.
Yeah. If not you, then who?
That's
really?
Right.
Like that's what it came down to for me. I was like, nobody else is going to do this if I don't do this.
Story
yeah.
My,
so many people talked about it. They were like, I want that. I want that. Everyone kept walking around going, I want that. And I was like, I want that. I guess I have to do it.
Story of my life. I've been involved in a lot of things because people won't do it. But you know, maybe that's just God's calling. It's like, you no one else is going to do it, but you feel passionate about, so do it. Yeah. Young adults can be in a wide array of stages of life. They can be clergy, parents of children, anywhere from infants to middle schoolers, or they could be single, quite a range. And how do you think the church can support young adult ministries to reach out to so many people effectively?
At St. Joseph's, I know when I first started leading, we had several young mothers in our group, and we really appreciated them being there, and everyone was always taken with the small children and the babies. And so over time, they kind of felt like it wasn't necessarily the place they needed to be. And one of the moms went and actually started a small group. And so now there's like a young moms group, and there's more than 10 ladies in it. So she was able to take the things that we were doing in the young adults group and translate them into a young moms group and then bring even more people in. And so it was kind of a great opportunity for growth, but we're not super connected, but we're still taking those opportunities to share and continue growing. And the parish has really supported us in that, in that they've really hyped up the small group initiatives and tried to give people those opportunities to find people like them.
Something I thought of that you mentioned about sort of like what are official group things and what are more organic things that can happen. And I think one way that really helps sort of all these different stages of life fit together is us all leaving enough time in our schedule for the organic things to be there, because, you know, like someone who's a clergyman versus someone who's single versus a family, they all have different schedules and are free at different times. But by sort of giving ourselves the flexibility to let organic things happen and just, you know, become friends with all these different people. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a program that brings us all together. Like, we each have the ability, as you say, to just kind of see the need, or, you know, see what needs to happen and make it happen.
I definitely have tried to make, if not every event, some of our events, like, very kid-friendly, so that people feel like they can bring their kids. I love kids, so I would love for people to take me up on that more, which some have, but that's what always I heard before, was the complaint of, like, well, you know, there aren't enough things for either just married couples or married couples with kids who are young adults. So I, as our group grows and as our leadership grows, I'd like to start to implement things like men's group, women's group. We are at our church, we already have a mom's group. And I think, you know, there can be a lot of overlap. So I hope that will be a thing in the future, that we could even put on like a date night for married couples. I've thought this through. Hopefully, you know, eventually, you know, some of our events could even offer like childcare, depending on what it is, so that the parents feel freed up.
Yeah.
I'll let Andrew talk to some of the more recent stuff. I will say, when I was the main one in charge of Spirit and Truth, there were a couple things we would help out with from a volunteer standpoint. There's a gentleman, he's a Catholic, goes to, I think, St. Joseph's in Augusta, and he's got a food pantry he runs. We've helped him with that. There's a pro-life medical clinic in Augusta called Pregnant Choices. We've helped them with their baby bottle campaigns they do. I was always a big believer that, you know, when you're running a ministry, volunteer is a big part. You know, helping other ministries at the church, helping your local parish and the Catholic Church or Catholic community as a whole. So I've always been a big believer in that, and I know Andrew has been too and has continued that.
Yeah, unfortunately, when I took over, it was during the heart of COVID, so volunteering work was a little more difficult at that time. But I've tried to get us back in the habit of it. There's a Catholic Social Services thrift store in our area, and they like us to bring some of their clothing donations about 100 miles away from Augusta to Lyons to a mission down there for the migrants. So that's a thing I'm trying to maintain the habit of, but I wouldn't mind doing a few more things. And like I said, we help out with Pregnant Choices by helping to sponsor a pro-life dance every now and then in our parish hall. We've made a lot of money there, and we've also brought a lot of different people together, not just young adults, but people from all walks of life.
Yeah, I feel like what you guys have been really all talking about at some level is volunteering. I think especially those of us who maybe don't have a spouse or children or other things that we have responsibilities to, like, we have the ability, we have a lot of resources in our time and our treasures, all these sorts of things, but finding ways to support the church just personally. And, you know, where can we volunteer? Like, can we bring a meal to this family? Just finding ways to be generous with our time.
With that, I'll give you a little background. So Sharon and I are in La Scuola, and Sharon last year put together the caroling event for La Scuola. So that was really great, because we were going around to people who just needed a little bit of joy and cheer, and we were going around to nursing homes. And so I've been asked to sort of take that on this year.
Thank you.
So we're going to be doing that, and it was a great event last year because there were a lot of young people. So that's sort of one of our service projects that we're going to be doing. And I sort of plan on doing maybe some of the local churches, whatever they need, whether it's like yard work or, you know, paint or stuff around the church itself. Just getting people together for a day and just doing those things that just don't need to be done, but just kind of fall to the wayside. And hopefully we'll eventually get to do things like fundraisers for things like what you were talking about. That's an awesome idea.
Yeah, the dance Andrew mentioned is probably the biggest thing we have that's, I guess, falls along those lines. But I love those ideas that you guys are doing that. We're going to have to maybe steal some of those ideas.
Yeah. Or, hey, you guys can, you know, we can do joint events again.
I mean, yeah, that too. Yeah, yeah. We've done a few joint events between the Augusta and the Savannah group. It was a lot of fun. We'll have to keep that tradition going, for sure.
Agreed.
For the Catholic young adults in Macon, we've done quite a few different events. We've done some things with like making meals for the homeless, with a, I guess it's more of an ecumenical event in that it's at a church that's not a Catholic church. And then we also work with the Colby Center for Life that's in Macon. And so we do a lot of different things, and we have Miss Ann Beal come speak pretty regularly, because that's deep in the hearts of many of the people in the young adults group. And we're always looking for more things to be able to help with, because our group definitely loves being able to help serve, and they're always asking for more things. So any suggestions would be great.
Also, I realize I'd be amiss if I didn't say that I think one way young adults can serve the church is by being involved in liturgical ministries. Like, as a musician, I think all the time in the choir, we have particularly, you know, either very young people who have much more open schedules or sort of older people who no longer have young kids at home. And I think, like, if you have any sort of musical background, we should definitely, you know, ask, like, does the choir need us? Does someone else leading worship need us? Do they need lectors? Do they need ushers? And there's a lot of ways that we can serve, you know, on Sunday mornings or Sunday evenings or other mass times throughout the week.
I love that you said that, because for the longest time I thought, like, oh, I don't give back enough. And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm in the choir. Like, I give of my time and talent. Like, I think it's important for us to remember that sometimes when we do those sorts of things, that is, it's greatly needed.
Yeah.
So just a reminder to everyone, if you're in one of those ministries, then you're probably doing more than you realize.
I know what you mean. I'm in addition to this, I'm part of the ushers, the lectors, and the Eucharist ministers, and I can't help but think, especially with the ushers, a lot of the people doing that ministry are older. So I feel like it's important that young adults get involved in these ministries at this time, because if they don't, then someday there'll just be none of them left, and that'll be sad.
Not to mention, you're on the parish council too, right?
Oh yes, parish council too. I'm
working
wondering
the
if I'm
over there.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I'm writing up more than I can shoot there. But
quick plug for that too before I move to the next question. I would just say, if you get asked to serve on the parish council, I'd recommend it. I served at one point too when I was still running Spirit and Truth. It was really good to be able to give back to your parish that way. What do you guys hope to see happen in the upcoming years for all your ministries? Or, like, what are you hoping to accomplish? What do you want to add to it? I guess Sharon, I'll start
with you. Well, yeah. Ours is sort of limited in its sort of mission. You know, like, it's really just Wednesday nights having a talk. I think I'd like to see us, you know, maybe just bring in more variety of speakers. You know, we're really trying to engage everyone on a mixture of sort of theological, social, things that are always, topics that are always, you know, pretty Catholic, but also maybe it's a particular author who's Catholic and sort of looking at them, or there's a lot of options there. But I'd also love to see more people engaged. And I think a lot of that comes down to us doing probably more advertising and getting the word out. But our ministry is kind of nice in that it's limited, so it doesn't have to necessarily be everything, but also I think there's a lot of development we can do to, you know, keep growing it.
I think that I feel like I've mentioned a lot, but I just, there's so many ideas. I think for us, just growing our leadership so that we can do more as a group. And I mean, I want to do more that serves our parish and area as a whole, rather than, you know, just the young adults, because obviously we're made up of young adults, but I'd like to see things that really bring the community in, whether it's, you know, sponsoring an event or helping with maybe another parish group to put on something that will serve the whole community.
And I like what you said there about, you know, if you want to expand, you need to expand your leadership. And I think that's kind of, it's also my answer is, like, right now it's just me and Father Larkin getting things done, and it's great, but it'd be nice to have, you know, to grow the leadership so that we do have more resources that we can use to bring people in.
Yeah, we actually, I've thought about this a lot, and I think it's so important. And we have so many people who are like, I'm ready to be a leader. But we actually are doing a leadership workshop next month.
Oh, cool.
And it's going to be led by Metanoia Catholic, so one of their people. So I'm really excited about that. And we're going to dive into the different temperaments and how to work together as different temperaments, like different leadership styles. And it's not just for, obviously, my group, but for basically anyone who wants to be able to lead in any part of their life, wherever God's calling them to at the time, because we're all going to be called to be leaders, whether it's at work or in our families, or in our, you know, friend groups, whatever organizations we're a part of. All of those skills are really valuable.
I think we need to grow our leadership as a group. I mean, Brett, Bryce, and I, we're doing well right now, but we won't be around forever. I'd like to inspire.
If only we could be young forever, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice. But I want to inspire other people to be ready to be leaders when we're gone. It seems to me like churches are more inclined to have a youth ministry than a young adults ministry. Mm-hmm. So if we could, you know, make connections with them and talk to the leaders and be like, hey, if your youth are aging out into young adult territory, maybe send them our way.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, I think for us, we've really hit our stride on the weekly meetings and everything. One of the things that I'm hoping we'll be able to do in the upcoming year is do a couple of retreats and do a couple of bigger events, because that's something that everyone has asked for, and we definitely need more people on our leadership team to help execute those kinds of things, because yeah, we're growing week in and week out is good, but also sometimes you gotta have those extracurricular experiences outside of all of the common everyday life, and just get away, go to the mountains, go to the beach, go somewhere different, and really work to experience God there.
And I will add, we did a retreat about 4 years ago to the Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament in the EWTN studio. That was really awesome. Mm-hmm. So, anytime you can do a retreat, it doesn't have to be that fancy necessarily, but anytime you can do a retreat, highly recommend it. Okay. I think that's great for a young adult ministry.
Retreats and Bible studies are definitely like on the list, because people keep saying, oh, we should go here and we should go there. And there's lots of places around Savannah that you could take like a weekend trip, and like St. Augustine is one that's sort of on the list. But yeah, it boggles my mind to see how things have grown, and then to see, like, imagine if that's happened in a year, then what can God do with the next year?
Yeah.
All right, so how can people connect with you guys?
Well, for us, there's several ways you can connect if you're Catholic young adult, or you don't even have to be Catholic. If you're a young adult in general living in the Augusta metropolitan area, you can connect with Spirit and Truth through Facebook. We got an official Facebook page. We have a GroupMe page. We also have an official website, augustayam.org. Those are the main three ways. And you can obviously read the bulletin too, I guess. but those are, I guess, the three big ways people can connect with us.
I think for us, we have the GroupMe, obviously, because GroupMe is great. And we're working on starting a social media presence. And then St. Joseph's is redoing the parish website. So we're hoping to get a little more involved in that as we continue onward. So a lot of it's really just those personal connections. So if you happen to see us anywhere, feel free to ask us. We'll direct you to the right place.
All right, so for Theology on Tap, we have an Instagram, Theology on Tap Savannah, and then you'll see our announcements in the bulletins at Sacred Heart and the Cathedral. So it's also every last Wednesday of the month. So if all else fails, just go to the nights, the last Wednesday of the month, and you'll probably find some friends there.
Yeah, so bulletins, if you can find one, for sure. Facebook, I try to update that as much as possible. Instagram, I believe it's, I don't even know. It's FS3SAV. Again, our name is the Frassati Sacred Social Society. I know, it's a lot. but the GroupMe is probably the best way to find us. And I don't know if it's like discoverable on GroupMe, so you're going to have to find the QR code. I know, technology. The QR code on either our Instagram or our Facebook. But that's honestly like the best way to find community and just like sort of get to see the personalities of everyone. At least the ones you like, not everybody's going to post in there, but there's some interesting conversations in there. And you know, you can even find out like what's going on just around Savannah, I think, by that, because people are always like, oh, we should go to this or we should go to that. So people like to share what's going on around town. We honestly, like, we have such a large reach. Like, we've reached over to South Carolina and out to, like, Fort Stewart. It's beautiful. It's beautiful what God's doing. He's even, like, inspired one of the guys from Statesboro who was coming to our staff, inspired him to start a group in Statesboro. So maybe at some point we'll all be sitting around and talking to him, too.
Well, it was great talking with you, meeting you all,
yeah,
learning
great.
We're not all alone in our corner of Georgia.
And there's a lot going on, it turns out.
Yeah, it's really good to see such a great presence of young adult ministries in the diocese. It's really great to see that there are other people who are out there on the front lines trying to make these ministries grow. So, anybody that's listening, if you live in Augusta, Savannah, Macon, make sure you check out these ministries.
I think if you're if anyone's listening who's like, I want to do that, then do it. Like, I will say, the enemy is gonna throw stuff at you, and you're not even gonna be able to account for it. Like, you're gonna be like, I never have seen that coming. But just persist in it, because God is gonna do great things. So if you feel called to that, even if it's terrifying, just do it anyway. Because in the end, this is all about helping each other to heaven. So it's really great to get to, you know, I know Sharon, I get to see her more than once a week. I've gotten to meet you guys before, and I'm happy to meet you, James. So it's really great, because it's all about collaboration. Like, life is about collaborating towards heaven. So it's so great to see, because now I think all of our groups can sort of collaborate together, and hopefully we're inspiring other people to do the same thing somewhere else.
And one thing too, even if you don't feel like socializing and being a part of a group is something that you want to do, do it anyways. Go try it out, because you'll be surprised how many people, like we even have in our group, that they're there because they took a chance once and they enjoyed it so much and they're so excited about it that, like, they're some of our biggest fans. Quietly, but they're our biggest fans.
I mean, I think I live in proof of that.
Me too.
So, yeah, come try it out and you'll be surprised how good God's going to work.
This has been an episode of It's Catholic, Y'all. Visit us at diosav.org or on our Diosav social media platform.